and welcome to a special episode of the Brick House Podcast. I'm Bob Johnson.
And I'm Matt Baker. If you're listening to the podcast for the first time, you can find us at Brick House Pod. I'm at Hey, it's Matt Baker. We're really excited for this one, Bob. We got a great guest today.
Our guest today is television writer Justin Halpern. He's known for a lot of things. His first foray into the entertainment business was the Twitter handle Shit My Dad Says, which became a book deal, a best-selling book on the New York bestsellers
list. Yeah, he really went about it the old-fashioned way. As old-fashioned as you can with new technology. But he just started that account just because he wanted to document what his dad was saying, right?
Yeah, that, and he moved back home after after breaking up with his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah, it became a Twitter account, then a book deal, then a television show where his dad was played by William Shatner. Also wrote the book I Suck at Girls, created a show that was based on that called Surviving Jack that was on Fox. Then he most recently was the co-showrunner of the show Powerless on NBC, which I'm not a big fan of the superheroes, but this one was actually pretty funny. It was like a spin-off comedy DC Universe show about a company that makes technology for people, regular people, to survive superheroes. So I'm sure you'll be able to see that on the Netflix, Hulu, Amazon streaming services to infinity. The aliens are going to be watching this.
Brick House TV.
It's going to be like the Arrested Development of our superhero comedy shows.
That's right.
Canceled way too soon. Anyways, this interview turned out real well. We do have some technical difficulties right at the beginning of the interview, at some point in the middle where Justin just starts a rant on Carmelo Anthony, maybe becoming a Clipper. He's a Clippers fan. And then at the end, it ends really abruptly. Skype is a free service, so I guess we can't completely fault him for it.
Yeah.
I was really looking forward to this, besides the annoying Skype problems.
Oh, it was great. It was great.
It went very well. So here we go. We're going to play the interview Matt and I did with television writer and basketball fan Justin Halpern. In preparation for you coming on the show, I looked at a couple of interviews that you have online, and I found it really entertaining to hear all the people struggle to introduce your first book, Shit My Dad Says. S-word, my dad says, or bleep, my dad says. I was wondering, you know, if you've considered offering a licensing deal to Lonzo Ball for Shit My Dad Says.
He's in a category all his own. I feel like maybe I should do what he did, and I'll just come in and ask for $1 billion for the license for it.
You might as well just start high, and it can only go down from there, but that's still, even if you get, you know, $500 million, you're still rocking and rolling, so.
The weird thing is like, his kid doesn't seem anything like him. Like, even on, like, Paul Shirley, who I used to do the Short Corner with.
Yeah.
Paul has this, like, theory that a lot of basketball players have, which is, like, you can tell everything about someone by the way they play basketball.
Sure.
And Lonzo, I watched a lot of him this year because I like watching UCLA, and he's like a really, really unselfish player.
When I went to a UCLA game, I went to when they played Arizona State, and that's one of the things that stood out is he's almost too unselfish sometimes.
It's going to be interesting to see. I think there's going to be a couple of things that happen with him when he makes the jump. His passing is going to get even better, mostly because the players around him are going to be better.
Sure.
But I think that his offensive game is going to struggle a little bit.
The way he cocks that ball to the right side of his body, he might get blocked a ton before he figures that thing out.
Yeah, also if he goes to the Lakers, I don't think he'll start right away. So I think they'll ease him into it because they're not in some kind of win now mode or anything like that.
But you know, before even Shit My Dad Says, I knew you from Short Corner. And, you know, since you guys went off the air, Matt and I were really inspired to do a funny basketball podcast, you know, kind of fill that void for you. And now that we got you on the line, I, you know, had a couple of Short Corner questions for you.
I missed Short Corner.
Yeah, we all do.
Yeah.
By all, you mean like 87 people.
Well, at least the three of us sitting here now. I can't vouch for the others, but I know we do. So,
I was wondering how you and Paul Shirley first met up. I don't know if you really explained that on the podcast before.
I had written a piece on Grantland, or maybe it was, I think it was on Grantland. I'd written an essay on Grantland about what it's like to have your television show canceled.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And Paul read that, and he tweeted out about it. And I had been reading Paul since he was doing those, like, 07 Suns, Phoenix Suns blog.
Yeah.
I found him through Simmons, and so when I saw that Paul had tweeted about it, I tweeted back at Paul, and I was like, hey, I'm a big fan. I've been reading you forever. And I had read his book, which is really good if you're a basketball fan, by the way.
Yeah, you've read it, right, Bob? I think we both read it.
Yeah, My Jersey? Yeah, it's hilarious.
It's really a fun book. And so I contacted him, and Paul was like, let's get coffee. I live in L.A. And we did. We just get together and shoot the shit and have dinner. And it's funny because Paul kind of hates basketball.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Like, I was the one on that podcast who loved basketball, and then the NBA player on our podcast didn't like basketball.
Yeah, you liked writing. Yeah.
Yeah. And perfect. So, which is, I'm like, I don't need to talk about fucking writing anymore. Like, I do it all day. Like, I don't need to talk. And Paul was like sort of the reverse, which is like, I don't need to talk about basketball anymore.
Yeah.
But we hit it off, and then I sort of talked him into doing it, and he was like, okay, fine, I'll do it. It's just like a way for us to hang out every week. And so we do it, and it was going, you know, along really well, but what would always happen is I'd get on a show, and then I'd get really busy, and then I'd have to stop, you know, I'd have to stop the podcast. It's hard to kind of build an audience if you're not doing it every week, you know?
Yeah, that's one of the things we realize. We have to do it every single week consistently to prove that we're going to be here, you know, otherwise it's easy for people to die off.
We do one every day for season previews, kind of like Bill Simmons and Jalen Rose used to do the team previews.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This past year we did skits, you know, just like fictionalized versions of GMs and owners arguing about trade deals and stuff, and played all the different guys. Tried to just stick to the white guys, you know, rather than...
You mean you didn't put on an affect?
Yeah.
Just Vlade Divac.
You know, I'm from Phoenix, so we all loved Paul Shirley. We loved that the Suns then, but Paul Shirley was like this added bonus we got. Along with this great basketball, we also had this jokester on the bench that we could read about. It was quite the time to be a basketball fan in Phoenix, I'll tell you.
I contend that that team Paul was on, the 07 Suns, right, is the most fun basketball team I've ever seen.
Yeah, that was the dreaded Robert Horry, Steve Nash gets slammed into the announcing table.
Oh, right. And Amari and Boris suspended.
But one toe. Think about that team. You had Steve Nash, and to that point, no one had ever played point guard like that before.
Yeah.
Then you had this mix of, like, athletic freaks, like Amare and, you know.
Marion. Grant Hill's first year on the Suns, too, I think.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
He still had juice left.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was. Paul always talks about how if Joe Johnson hadn't broken his face, they would have gone to the finals.
Right.
Yeah.
But that was how I met Paul.
That's pretty great.
One of the funniest things about it was every episode you would start by Paul Shirley playing a song. He loves music and play all these different bands, and then you would proceed to talk about why you hated the band, or you would just hated imagining who likes this kind of music. And that was one of my favorite parts of the show. I was wondering, did something happen to you? Did you get beat up by musicians or... I've had acoustic guitar players.
I was like
players.
Clockwork Orange. Someone was just abusing me to music.
Yeah.
No, you know, I just was like, I don't come from at all a musical family whatsoever. Like, my dad likes music, but he was never really playing in the house. And my mom, she never played in the house either. And so I also hate crowds. So when I go to concerts and stuff, I would just fucking hate it, and I'm way too self-conscious to like dance, and I'm also too much of an asshole and too cynical to not make fun of people dancing.
Yeah.
And so it was just a bad mix, and I think just like, also it became a thing in LA where if I told people I didn't like music, that they would, their minds would be blown. Like, yeah. they wouldn't be able to comprehend that. It'd be like saying, I don't like water. And I like to get a rise out of people, so I just kept saying it. I don't know. I just never really got that into it. And what, some people say, like, that music accesses the same parts of your brain as math. Sure. And I fucking hate math, and I'm a terrible – I was a terrible math student. So maybe there's something there.
What about – could you tell the story – you know, I'm sorry if it's a sore subject, but how does a podcast get canceled?
Well, I'll tell you. We had started to build our audience, and we were anywhere between 15 and 20,000 people an episode. And it was starting to get kind of popular because it was really, there was nothing else out there like it if you were an NBA fan.
Sure.
And it started, but then I started to get busy and Paul would get busy and it was like infrequent when it would come out. And then sometimes we'd have guest hosts who like didn't know anything about basketball. And like, it would just kind of be like the episodes didn't, they stopped being as good. And like, we couldn't prepare as much. And so anyway, it started to dwindle back down to maybe like 9 or 10,000 an episode, and I was only in maybe I was coming like one out of every four episodes, and
right.
So anyway, at Podcast One, they have like an amount of time that they have to booked for like the producers and stuff. But really, what it was is that Paul really was always pissing off the guy who owned the place. This guy Norm.
Yeah.
Paul would always piss him off, and Paul would send like missives that would piss him off, and then Paul would always shit on the Lakers and shit on guy had courtside seats to the Lakers and had him for 20 years. And if you don't know Paul Shirley, Paul, I love him to death, but he will burn a bridge in 2 seconds. He does not
I
give
read
a
his
shit.
Book yeah
yeah he'll just burn any bridge, he doesn't care. Which is part of why he was so great on that podcast, is he was just so honest about everything.
Yeah,
it didn't, there was no story. There was never a time on that podcast where Paul was like, I'll tell you this story off the air. He'd just tell it on the air. He wouldn't care.
This is the guy who was under an NBA contract, and while he was under contract would write about how he didn't watch the games. He would just scope the crowd for chicks. So, yeah, so this is who we're dealing with.
Yeah, I just watched.
And Paul thinks pretty – I mean, he has a good case that his time in the NBA was effectively cut short by being like that. So I think it coincided with the time where they were trying to find a time to put Snooki's podcast on the air.
Classic. Snooki,
great.
From whatever the hell that
Jersey Shore
was called. Jersey Shore. Yeah, we got canceled for Snooki.
Oh, my God.
Nice.
That's terrible.
A lot of – in your defense, though, in that era, a lot of things got canceled for Snooki that probably shouldn't have got canceled for Snooki.
That's
so.
True. Well, nothing is getting canceled for Snooki anymore.
Yeah. I like still following you on Twitter. It seems like still 50% of your tweets are about basketball these days.
And yeah, I was talking to a friend and I was like, I think 50% of my tweets are about basketball and 50% are about like jerking off or kids. and it's like, I'm definitely like a weird Twitter feed to follow. I don't know why people follow me, other than like maybe some of them like the basketball tweets, some of them like the. But basketball to me is like, I watch so much basketball, and it's the best professional league. Although I will say I feel like Durant to the Warriors has lessened the fun for me.
Yeah.
But it's still the best professional league, I think. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a fun thing to just keep up with. There's so many great personalities too.
I was curious to hear you rank your least likable Warriors.
I'd love to. all right. So first is Draymond. I fucking hate Draymond. I mean,
More than pity.
He's an amazing like heel. I mean, he does what he does so well, and sure. I hate that I know he's a heel, and I'm still baited by it. It's almost like somebody who's watching professional wrestling and actually hates the bad guy and can't, like, distance themselves from the character he's playing.
Yeah.
Like, if you saw him on the street, you'd be like, fuck you, The Rock. Like, it's I for some reason, I don't have the necessary, like, ability to distance myself from the character I know he's playing. But so he's number one. I just really can't stand Draymond. Uh-huh. And then I'm going to throw people a couple curveballs. Then I would say I hate Klay Thompson next.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
And And a lot of people would say, well, he doesn't have a personality, he doesn't blah, blah, blah. And that's partly why. Like, I don't think you – like, he's so aggressively boring. And it really sort of popped out to me this year when Kevin Durant, I believe, is one of the most dull human beings to ever roam the planet in terms of his media persona. Like, have you guys seen the movie Thunderstruck?
Oh, yeah,
that
he
did?
He can't.
I did watch that, yeah.
He can't string together, like, complete sentences, right? They have to just give him words to say. Cause
they do a voiceover for all his commercials.
And I think he's also one of these guys who, you know those people in your life who people think are nice because they're quiet, but actually if they talk, you'd be like, oh, well, that's an asshole.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I feel about KD. Anyway, Klay Thompson's number two. Because I think he's aggressively boring, and I also think, like, he's one of those guys. Like, my wife has the best description of Klay Thompson ever, and I could never do a better version of it. And my wife's thing was, Klay Thompson looks like the kind of guy who thinks he deserves a blowjob.
Yeah, Bob like, was telling me about that tweet.
I told him that right before we called you. I was like, I'll never forget this description from Justin Alpern's wife about Klay Thompson.
Yeah, it's perfect. So the Klay would be number two. I put KD third, mostly because I really feel like he did a disservice to the NBA. And right, he can do whatever he wants. Obviously, like, I support any player going to the place. Like, you picked up your place that you want to work. Everyone should have that luxury. Great for him. But it doesn't mean I can sit here and say, like, I'm glad he did and it made the NBA better. It made the NBA worse. I mean,
yeah,
it just did. And people say, well, what about Jordan in the 90s? Well, yeah, but that team was built in a different way. He struggled for, you know, 8 years, and then he basically, like, berated Scottie Pippen into a player. Yeah. So
yeah, he would berate, like, Bill Cartwright into players.
And so, yeah, exactly. And so I think, you know, for me, like, everybody says, well, LeBron, you know, did the same thing. Well, he didn't. He went to a 47-win team, and instead KD went to a team that has the best record of all time and was a freakish block away from winning last year.
Sure.
So right. So I put KD third just because I can't get over that. And then after that, I would say there's sort of like a mix of guys that I really just sort of don't really love. I mean, I would say I don't really love David West because last year he had this whole he was like sort of, you know, beloved because he took that huge pay cut to go with the Spurs. And right. I was like, oh, it's really admirable. And then he gave this quote where he was like, I would never just chase a ring. Like, I want to, like, help build something together. Well, you just went to the fucking Warriors. Like, I'd never chase a ring. What are you talking about?
I saw someone change David West's Wikipedia page to his position as ring chaser at one point.
Yeah.
And then I would go, I actually don't have, like, that many hard feelings for Steph.
Sure.
Okay.
Just because I feel like he's so unbelievable to watch, and he hits you with just daggers. I think he, like, I don't think he's that hateable. I think he's, like, a guy who, and also, I get catharsis from watching him just get, like, hunted on defense, like, in the playoffs. Like,
yeah.
People would
yeah.
just run switches till they could hunt Steph.
Right.
And,
right.
And that's a fucking humiliating feeling as a grown man to watch somebody, like, for him to just know that everybody thinks he's the weakest that there is on defense. And so I don't mind him all that much. And I actually kind of like Iguodala.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't mind Iggy, and I love JaVale McGee.
I saw that JaVale was really hoping that they won in five games because he invested in the Tupac movie, All Eyes on Me, and he wanted to go to the premiere, which is tomorrow.
That's why I love him, because I don't even think he likes basketball. I think he's just kind of like, it's like if you were really good at something that you were like, yeah, that's okay, that's something I'm kind of interested in.
Yeah.
That's what I think it is with JaVale.
Yeah.
And that's always like a more interesting person to me, is someone who has like outside interests that seem to rival like the sport that he actually plays. Those would be my rankings. And I used to not care about Zaza because I used to look at him as like, he just seemed like, you know, 80 years ago, he'd just be like the muscle in a Serbian mafia.
Yeah.
And he's also got like a brow that I've never even seen before. It's like, it's amazing. It looks like another face is going to try to grow out of the one that he's got.
Yeah, it's like not a muscly brow, but it is kind of like there's something going on behind that.
Caveman.
There's something Cro-Magnon about it.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't look, he looks like he might be like the step in between Neanderthals and humans. Like,
yeah, if he were to die in the middle of nowhere and his bones just became covered in dirt, if in like 1,000 years someone digs him up, they're like, well, we found it. We found the missing link.
Even if he just died right now and somebody found his bones and didn't know what it was, they think that.
Yeah.
Are you still a Clippers season ticket holder, a Clippers fan?
I am. I renewed my season tickets for this year. That's one of the things that's kind of like tough about it is like, you know, the Warriors, barring injury, are going to come out of the West and win. Part of me is hoping that Chris Paul leaves the Clippers and goes to the Spurs.
Really? Just to compete with the Warriors?
Yeah, because I'd like to see somebody give the Warriors a real chance. And I think with Chris Paul and Kawhi Leonard on defense, mostly, I think that that's a tough two guys. Chris Paul is a hell of a defender.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to ask you who you would miss the most between JJ, Blake, and Chris if one of them left.
I'd miss Chris the most, but it's like one of those rom-coms where you just like you want him to be happy. So she's like, it's okay, you can leave me. Just go be happy. I just want that for you. Our season tickets are a couple rows behind his parents, and his parents are, and his wife, they're there like, I would say 70% of the time, 80% of the time, and I see his mom, you know, during like times when Chris is having a tough time in the court or whatever, and like, as a parent, I'm just thinking like, oh man, I just want his mom to be happy.
Yeah. One of the most fun basketball games I've been to in recent memory was I bought tickets day of to Game 7 Clippers Warriors 2014.
Was that the Sterling year? The year the Clippers won?
Yeah, Game 7. And it
amazing game.
Yeah, it was. I bought tickets day of for $30. A buddy and I went $30 on StubHub for Game 7 Warriors Clippers.
Wow.
Yeah, it was amazing. And I could have in no way envisioned that Warriors team would go on to be what they were.
One of the things I'm very proud of the Short Corner, is it's a really old episode, but after they lost to the Clippers, when we were talking about, we were doing this ranking of like coaches and who are the shittiest coaches.
Yeah.
And both Paul and I said, we went through the Warriors roster and we were like, I don't know. I think this is a championship team if they have even a decent coach. And we were right. That was the only, cause like watching them close up, you were like, oh my God, why are they running ISOs for Harrison Barnes? Like,
yeah.
This makes no sense.
Yeah.
And then Kurt, I mean, literally, like, the Warriors' offense is, now it is a little more unique, but, or at least last year, it kind of got a little stagnant this year in places, but it's not that complicated. Steve Kerr's basically like, look, we're going to run a lot of guys off screens, and we're going to screen off the ball, and that's going to cause mismatches, and that's what we're going to do. Like, they don't run very many pick and rolls for an NBA team, where every other NBA team runs, like, every pick and roll. And part of it is that because they don't have to.
Right. Yeah, Kerr comes from that Popovich style of, I trust you, just roll the ball out, and you guys do what you need to do. Yeah.
Yeah, that Game 7 was, that was, like, the origin story for those Warriors.
Yeah, and I enjoy now, whenever Mark Jackson's on the call, whenever he puts in like little quips about what he would do if he was Steph Curry in this situation. And I'm like, well, bro, you had 3 years to do this and you didn't. So,
by the way, what sweet justice it is that he had to call all those Warriors games. It's like your wife leaving you and then you have to then like narrate the next relationship she has.
Yeah, it's brutal. He has to just sit there and watch it all take place.
Oh, and meanwhile, he's also a client of LeBron James' agency too. I think that's the reason why he gets a couple of Warriors cheap shots in every broadcast.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. He's
Tyronn Lue is with Clutch Sports, J.R. Smith, Tristan Thompson, Mark Jackson, all of them clients of LeBron James.
Wow.
Yeah. LeBron has a piece of a lot of stuff.
Yeah, he does.
Did you, including Warner Brothers?
Really?
He does. I actually met with his company they wanted us to, my partner and I, to write a show for him. It was funny. It was like, we have this idea about like sneaker culture in Atlanta. And I'm like, why are you coming to like two white guys that have no idea? Like, they were really nice, but we were not the right writers for it.
Some new Clippers news I saw today was that the Clippers hired Jerry West. Did you see this? You
think? Yeah, I'm very excited about it, only because, like, I wasn't so concerned about the Clippers for the next couple years, because I think something's going to happen, and I also think nobody's going to beat the Warriors the next couple years, so it doesn't really matter. But it felt like a step in the right direction in terms of just how, like, I think so much of the league is how you're perceived in terms of how you land free agents and things like that.
Absolutely.
And so I think everything you can do to sort of make yourself a more desirable destination for free agents, you should. And Jerry West is like, there's nobody who's like more beloved or respected in the NBA than him. And so to get him, I think is a big deal. You know, I think frankly, like, I'm more excited than that for that than probably I will be for most of their signings or whoever they'll lose. What I would love to happen, this is my dream scenario for the Clippers and how I actually think that they would have a chance next year. And I hate saying this because I really like him as a player.
Uh-huh.
But I think if they could somehow convince Blake Griffin to go along with a sign-and-trade to Indiana for Paul George.
Right.
That if you put Paul George at the four for the Clippers, obviously he's a little undersized, but you put him at the four for the Clippers, I think they can beat the Warriors.
And you bring back Redick and everyone, so you just let Blake go for Paul George, what you're saying. That's the change?
Yeah, I don't think you can bring back JJ.
JJ's going to get a ton of money from someone. He's going to get like 15 to 20 million from someone for sure.
I know, and like I love JJ, but so much of his game is predicated on his legs.
Yeah.
And he just is getting a little older, and it's hard to do that shit where you run around everywhere, you know, unless they changed their offense. Because in the playoffs, you'd see teams would just take JJ away. And I love him, and he's a great player, and he's one of the best, like, off-balance three-point shooters in the league. But I think there's a way to get somebody who's basically that, but a little different, but not quite as good for much less money.
So I know you sit right by Chris Paul's family and stuff, and I'm sure you've heard about people say that he's a real asshole as a teammate. What do you think about the validity of that? Do you think, like, if you had to rank Chris Paul's assholeness on a scale of 1 to 100, where do you think he actually, the real truth lies?
One of my favorite things to do is we sit behind the Clippers bench, and one of my favorite things to do is watch them during timeouts.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know that it's so much he's an asshole. He's just a taskmaster. Maybe that's part of what isn't being an asshole, but I think he's a tough guy to play for because I think he has the demeanor of, like, a dad who is always a little disappointed in you.
Well, you know? Fair enough.
And so I think that there's a lot of guys on that team. Like, he and JJ, you never will see them bark at each other because JJ's always exactly where he's supposed to be,
right,
doing what he's supposed to be doing. And that's his game. And so Chris, one of the reasons why JJ loves playing with Chris is because Chris gets him passes right in his, you know, shooting pocket to just go up and shoot because JJ's always where he's supposed to be. Blake and DJ, you know, they're not always where they're supposed to be, and their game's a little more fluid. And maybe it's too much, I don't know, but I think that he has trouble with those guys because, A, here's the other thing. Do you guys follow Jen Statsky on Twitter? She's a comedy writer, and she's a really big Clippers fan, and she's just a smart basketball person.
Okay.
And her theory is that there's too many smart people on the Clippers, like smart in terms of just how they are out in the world.
Interesting.
Because if you're smart, when you get to a big situation, your brain is clouded with a lot of different things because you're self-aware and you're thinking about the situation. You understand the gravity of the situation. You understand how you're perceived. You understand what you might be perceived like if a certain thing happens. There's a lot of things running through your head. when you're fucking Kevin Durant and, you know, you're just like, give me the ball and I'll shoot it.
Yeah.
A lot of shit's clouded, you know, clouded. So I think that that's part of the reason is that, like, Blake and DJ, I think, are intelligent, smart human beings. And I think that because of that, they're, you know, a little too self-aware about certain things and a little too neurotic. They actually seem like neurotic to me.
Interesting.
And I say that as like a fucking neurotic Jew. But I think that that's true. And I think that drives Chris insane.
I forget. Someone said that Chris Paul gets frustrated when you're not where he thinks you should be when he passes you the ball. Seems to me like one of those type of things, like, you know how Wayne Gretzky wasn't a good hockey coach because he always knew what you were supposed to do, but he couldn't describe it. So maybe it's one of those, not necessarily that Chris can't describe what he wants, but he just knows exactly what you need to do, that it's hard for him when you don't do it.
Yeah, you know, I've worked with, like, showrunners and writers in Hollywood, like comedy writers who are brilliant. They're, like, so good at what they do, and you can never get a rewrite or a script written that meets their standards, and it's not so much that they're dicks about it, it's just that they have a way that they think it should be done, and if it doesn't land in that little area,
right,
then they feel like they have to do it themselves. They just want it to kind of like be done in this one way. And I think that that's how Chris is. I think, you know, and the way that I feel about those showrunners is like, you know what, it's their show, but when you're in a basketball team, it can't just be like, it's Chris's team and everybody works for Chris. That right. breeds contempt, and I think that has bred contempt.
That's a good way of putting it.
What do you think the odds are Carmelo Anthony becomes a Clipper next season?
Oh my God, I hope it's zero.
That answers our next question. Do you support this as a Clippers fan? So we got that out of the way.
I cannot tell you. Like, you have to have like an active four on defense, and you like you can hide a shooting guard. You can even to some extent hide a point guard. But you can't really hide a four.
Right.
And that's what he'd be playing for the Clippers, even if he's playing a three somewhere else. But, and you definitely can't hide a three on defense. And I think his legs are gone. I think he's just not even the offensive player that he was. And I think it's one of those things where, like, a band that was really popular puts out their new album and everybody goes because you love that band and you remember they were great. You're like, yeah, this new album's great too. But you're like, really, you're like, this new album fucking sucks.
Yeah. Well, so, you would say that. We know that for sure.
I'd say that about their old album, too.
Yeah. Carmelo, if he embraces the stretch four, he might have embraced it a little too late, because based on his Olympic play, a lot of people say that the stretch four might have been something he would have thrived at initially, because he kind of does that in the Olympics a bit, but he just never embraced it really.
I think he
played
that the one playoff series they won in New York. He was playing stretch four, and then he was like, I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even in that series, they played stretch. He was played the stretch four because of injuries.
Sure. Yeah, but he had to do it, but he didn't. He doesn't want to do it. We have a few rapid fire questions for you here. We'd want to end on.
All right, cool. Hit me.
We do a thing on Brick House where we rank NBA brothers, like we rank the Plumlee brothers and we rank the Hernan Gomez brothers. You're a TV guy, so we want to know if you have a Wayans brothers ranking.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Well, I would go Keenan Ivory first, which is a surprise, I think, to most people, because
he's the backbone of the family, really.
He is. He directs movies, and I think he, like, focuses their energy on things.
He gave everyone their start, so.
Yeah, and if you look at the movies that he did early on, like Don't Drink Your Juice in the Hood,
or
whatever, that movie's fantastic.
Yeah,
I'm going to get you
so sucker. I'd go Keenan Ivory, then I'd probably go go Marlon, Damon, Sean.
Okay, I like that.
Is there another Wayans I'm missing? Kim?
Well, there's the Wayans extended, like the nephews and stuff, but you got the main ones.
Well, now they
the extended
Damon
Wayans
Jr.
universe.
Yeah, the Wayans Brothers universe. It's going to rival the Marvel Cinematic Universe
New generation.
All right, Bob, what's one here?
Do you think it's possible there's been an L.A. Clipper that smoked more weed than Baron Davis?
Yes, Darius Miles.
That's who I said. That's the exact person I said. I like it. Is there an NBA player that reminds you of your dad?
Oh, man. Well, Greg Popovich reminds me of my dad.
I like that.
Greg Popovich.
Yeah, that's
but
pretty good.
But in terms of NBA player, let me think. Maybe Tim Duncan.
Oh, okay. That's a dark... I didn't see that coming. I like it, though.
He's wise.
Because Tim Duncan is, like, super responsible and also, I think, like, unflinchingly honest and sneaky funny.
Yeah, I agree with all that. There was a clip of Tim Duncan about a decade ago. He was walking up to the podium to do an interview after the game, and he slipped on one of the steps, kind of tripped, but turned it into, like, a running jump shot. Like one of those, like, no, I didn't slip. I planned to do this the whole time type thing. And ever since then, I was like, I'm pretty in on Tim Duncan. I know he's destroying my beloved Suns, but I'm kind of in.
You tweeted something on your 50% basketball during these playoffs about Kawhi Leonard doing a quiet fist pump after making a game-winning shot. You're like, somewhere Tim Duncan is disgusted by this level of showboating, you know?
Oh, so good.
It was also that fist pump by Kawhi was after he went on, like, a 15-0 run by himself.
Oh, right? Yeah.
And that was the extent of his celebration.
So good.
In the past couple of years, do you think there's been a worse GM in the NBA than Doc Rivers?
Oh, God. Maybe Billy King.
Yeah.
but I don't know, probably not. Doc, it's funny. Doc is really good at making players who aren't great better if they buy in. You know, like Austin Rivers is actually a decent NBA backup now.
That's why he keeps bringing his former players to the Clippers, I think.
I know, but he just really, like... He does not have the ability. It's such an emotional decision for him, and I think that's the worst way to GM.
Right. Yeah. It is kind of that is true. It is based on all emotion. Do you have a next project in mind, or is there too soon to talk about anything? What's coming up next for you?
Well, we're pitching a few shows, pretty soon, a couple cable shows, network show, but who knows? It's like, you know, you pitch stuff and it goes out to the void, and if you're lucky, it gets seen on TV, but most of the time it doesn't. So there's nothing right now that I'm like, oh yeah, people will be able to check out this anytime soon. So not really is the answer.
Just check out your Twitter feed for all your 50% basketball, 50% something, other things, baby stuff, I think you said, right? Child?
Jerking kids, yeah.
Oh, that's the one.
I really want to thank you for coming on this podcast. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. It's been great.
No problem, guys.
Happy to come on.
Anytime you want to get your basketball fill, you can come right back on, and we'll let you rant about whatever you want for as long as you want.
We told you that the ending was going to be abrupt, and we didn't lie.
I hope you edited out my loud grrr after we had to abruptly end.
I'll just play it right now.
Thank you. No, that was great. It's always nice when you can interview someone who just loves talking about what you're interviewing them about.
Oh, for sure.
It was brilliant.
Short Corner Podcast was my favorite NBA podcast I've ever heard. And yeah,
ever heard, Bob. You've listened to Brick House, I think.
That's true. But it was so great to hear Justin Halpern giving his lukewarm takes again. That was a segment they did on Short Corner, lukewarm takes.
I like it.
It's hilarious. With a few minutes we have, I wanted to remind listeners, this is our last pod before the NBA draft.
Say it ain't so.
I know. Matt and I invented an NBA draft game. And
we're quite proud of it, I think.
Yeah. You might be new to the podcast. Maybe you've been listening for a while, but you're still unawares of our NBA draft game. We have a blog post describing the rules of the game on BrickHousePodcast.com. But Matt, could you just like explain a little bit on how this game works? What's the summary?
Yeah, I mean it's your basic draft mock draft game where you mock the entire draft, the entire two rounds. Or in the past, as one of our friends slash listeners did, the first 13 picks where he used one player twice. So then you mock it, and then you get points for you get 5 points for correct first round second round picks, right? 1 point. You get a point if you beat Chad Ford's mock draft, which I think we have to find a new guy this year, right?
Well, Chad Ford's doing the draft this year. The pointing system is pretty complicated.
Yeah.
Probably check the blog.
It switches every now and then. But the real fun is the live action second round. You mock a second round, but then Bob and I, we watch the draft together and we like live bet second round picks. Say you take Jordan Bell out of Oregon, you can pick him, what, 3 times before you can't pick him again.
Yeah, 3 strikes, you're out.
Yeah, so you have to use your picks very wisely. But it's fun because it's kind of chaotic and makes the second round a blast.
Yeah, unfortunately, I agreed to go to a wedding months before realizing it was the same night as the NBA draft.
Would you have declined the invite to the wedding?
100%.
Do they listen to the podcast?
No.
Okay.
If you are, I'm totally joking.
I'm not joking.
Yeah, this is you have to travel there too, right?
Yeah, it's in Texas.
Oh,
Going to Texas. Anyways, yeah, so check out the Brick House NBA draft game. It's a hootenanny.
Yeah, you're getting ready for Texas with the hootenanny.
Yeah, all y'all check it out.
Yeah. All right, what do we got? Diss of the week.
Let's do a diss of the week. I'm glad you asked.
Thank you.
Yo mama is so fat.
A couple of them are blasts from the past, actually, but I just read them this week. This is how diss of the week sometimes goes.
Sure. If it's new to you, it's new to us.
Yeah, right? I want to share it. I feel like it's share-worthy, better than recent disses. Some of the funny disses just happened today. We're between Draymond Green and LeBron James.
Right. We didn't get into it.
Draymond wore a shirt that said Quickie during the Golden State Warriors parade today. It had the same Q as the Quicken Loans Arena.
Right.
They were planning on wearing it if they swept the Warriors. Just really a petty shirt that they had in waiting.
Yeah.
Waiting because LeBron James did the Ultimate Warrior shirt to them last year, the Ultimate Warrior wrestler, and also did the Tombstone cookies.
Yeah.
When Draymond was interviewed about this before the parade, the woman said, "You had this shirt ready to go. You've been waiting over a year to get back at this? That's really petty." Draymond's response was, "I'm petty." He owns it.
Yeah, it's good. It's I forgot remember they had the Undertaker. The Cavs had the Undertaker come to a game earlier this year too.
Well, I think he went to the game. I don't think the Cavs invited him.
Well, that's what they want to say. The point is, lots of shade being thrown at the Warriors.
Definitely. So Draymond wore this shirt, and LeBron James sent a picture of him on Instagram and said, "Quickie, that's what she said, huh?" Draymond heard about this and replied to LeBron's Instagram workout video where he has now a new fresh cut and said, "Damn, the dubs beating you finally made you go bald, bruh." You know? So those are some disses just from today.
Yeah,
but
the LeBron, that's what she said, is in the Michael Scott pantheon of that's what she said uses.
Oh, I know. They're already going off about it on Reddit on how he compares to Michael Scott because LeBron James sent all these kids to college.
Are they really amazing.
Michael Scott promised to send all these kids to college.
Yeah, that's great. That's really good.
But the classic disses of the week that I found back in 2014, after the Lakers defeated the Oklahoma City Thunder in the playoffs, Matt Barnes gave KD some wisdom with this taunt, quote, "The only person in the world who can stop you is your teammate." He was talking about Russell Westbrook.
No.
Comes back.
Ugh.
Oh, and then the last one, LeBron James on Instagram. We also saw this on NBA Reddit today. Supposedly LeBron James is paying someone to delete all the L's and the 3 and 5 in the finals comments on his Instagram.
Right.
The top comment on Reddit about this? Jordan never paid someone to delete Instagram replies.
That's so good. Oh, so good. It really works with anything.
LeBron can't win.
On the next episode of Brick House.
Thanks again to Justin Halpern for coming on the show. Buy his books, watch his television shows, follow him on Twitter at Justin_Halpern.
Take care of his kid if him and his wife need a night out on the town.
Babysitting, free babysitting coupons. Yeah. I don't know if I would accept babysitting coupons from a short corner fan or any kind of
fan. There's only one way to find out, I guess.
You can follow his tweets for 50% funny NBA observations. No, 100% funny, but 50% of them are about the NBA.
Yeah.
Also, Justin Halpern has a new podcast. The Skype cut out before we gave him a chance to plug anything, so we'll do it for him. The $600 podcast.
Oh, wow.
Which, in their first few episodes, they call it Wild and Out Without Nick Cannon.
That's good.
I haven't got to the podcast yet where they describe why it's called $600 Podcast, but you can download that anywhere you get podcast. It's Halpern, his writing partner, Patrick Schumacher, and Tommy Jonigan.
Okay. I like Tommy Jonigan.
Oh, you know him?
Yeah, he's great.
They're all very funny.
Yeah.
So we're going to start packing our bags soon, Matt, for NBA Summer League.
Oh, yeah, we'll be there.
Our sunscreen. Vegas.
Between all the basketball and podcasting we're doing, we might not need sunscreen. We might not see the outdoors, Bob.
That's true. That's true. Plus all the shade we throw at players.
Oh.
Follow us on Twitter at BrickHousePod. Contact us through our website, BrickHousePodcast.com. And we'll talk to you on the next episode of
Brick House. We'll be right back.